Welcome to the world of peace, love, and homicide, brought to you by the Broadcast and Communications Department of Dominican University. I'm your host, Bloody Cowboy, and we will be delving into the many distinguishing features of America in the 70s and 80s, particularly the prevalent serial killing. What was it about that time period that inspired over 1,000 mentally ill people to murder in such an abominable manner? What motivated serial killers like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer to commit such atrocities? And why has this trend of serial murder declined in our day and age? I'll give my response to all those questions and more on this session of Peace, Love, and Homicide. Juan Corona, John Wayne Gacy, and Richard Ramirez are all notorious serial killers you might be able to name from the 70s. But can you recall someone from the past 20 years? Unless you're a serial nerd, no you can't. The helter-skelter 70s and 80s are remembered as the serial killer's heyday. Data show that the number of serial killers has dropped 85% in 3 decades, with the FBI now claiming that serial killers account for less than 1% of all killings. Better forensic science is also credited, as are cultural and technological shifts. Less hitchhiking, more helicopter parents, and 60 million security cameras. Killers aren't the sensation they once were. Of course, they haven't disappeared completely. It's estimated that there are between 25 and 50 active serial killers lurking in the back alleys of the United States at any given time, stalking the streets and highways for their next potential victim. Here's a strange fact. As the number of serial killings is said to have decreased, so has the number of murder cases solved. According to Ranker.com, in 1965, the homicide clearance rate in the United States was 91%. It had fallen to 61.6% by 2017, one of the lowest rates in the Western world. In other words, murderers can get away with it roughly 40% of the time. Some experts believe that the significant number of these unsolved murders are the work of serial killers. Thomas Hargrove, the founder of the Murder Accountability Project, which is a nonprofit that collects homicide data, investigated how many unsolved murders are linked in DNA evidence. If such estimates are correct, why aren't more murders caught? Take, for example, Samuel Little. He isn't a household name, but his confessed death toll appears to triple Bundy's, spanning 14 states in 4 decades. Police have charged him with at least 60 homicides since 2012, and he claims to have committed 33 more. Imagine a group that stalks young, heavily intoxicated victims and kills them in such a way that it's impossible to tell whether the death was accidental or not. Sadly, this horrific scenario is very real, according to professor of criminal science Lee Gilbertson and former NYPD detectives Nick Cannon. Since 2009, they have advanced a theory that a gang or a group of domestic terrorists is targeting young white men with college education, often after a night of drinking. They kidnap them, murder them, and stage their deaths as accidental drownings. The only evidence of their involvement is a sinister smiley face graffiti near the alleged crime scene. Referencing another case, the Highway of Tears is a less than charming nickname for Highway 16, a 450-mile stretch of road in British Columbia, Canada. For good reason, the road has a negative reputation. Hundreds of girls and women have been tragically murdered along it and the two roads connecting to it. However, the number of serial murders appears to be decreasing, as does the public interest in them. It does seem like the golden age of serial murders is probably in the past, says Errol Schechter, a professor at Queens College in New York who studies crime. A few theories on why this decline is happening have really got me thinking. According to a New York Times article, mass shootings have begun to garner the same level of media attention as the serial killers once did. In the 70s and 80s, a loner with a vendetta would have had to spend months, if not years, murdering teenagers and raging their bodies along a river in their hometown or something, in order to become famous and possibly have a best-selling book about them. All it takes now is for some misguided soul to take 10 minutes out of their day to go shoot up a mall. In my opinion, having the idea that the media has control over what kind of murder spree grips the country next is more than a little ridiculous. But it does make sense that the more gun violence is fetishized in the news, the more people will be inspired to go on a killing spree. Is this the reason, however, why there are more spree killers than serial killers now than in the past? Another theory that I read on Ranker.com really interests me. Mike Amode, a psychology professor who studies serial killers, believes that the internet has created an identity layer that prevents predators from moving between communities and remaining unnoticed as they did in decades in the past. He goes on to say that a quick Google search about someone can reveal their entire history, especially if they moved across multiple states because they've been killing prostitutes. Not to be cynical, but Google will not stop weirdos from killing people. However, it may prevent you from being killed by a weirdo. When in doubt, look him up on Google. According to CNN's Jack Levin, the internet has given sex offenders and serial killers more options for satisfying their sadistic desires, quote, without entangling victims directly in their bizarre lives. The accessibility to strange things found on the internet may make squeamish people feel gross, but all that gross stuff may just be saving lives. In my opinion, there's definitely something to that idea that if Jeffrey Dahmer had access to gay zombie porn, and medication, obviously, in the 1980s, he wouldn't have tried to turn all the guys he picked up into zombies. I mean, it's so plausible that all that weird stuff is just a catalyst that inspires more creepos to act out their fantasies. You never know. Ultimately, this is a podcast where we get queasy and uncomfortable, and we're going to be pushing the boundaries with our thoughts, just as the killers did with their victims. To put it another way, we'll be thinking outside the box. No stone will be left unturned in the investigation of these behaviors on peace, love, and homicide.